Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelor Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing?
I'm surprised you're even able to find me. I've been off the map for a while. I'm glad you didn't send out a missing persons report for me.
Yeah, I would have needed your picture from when you were 15 from your driver's license or driver's permit, I guess it would be.
Ooh, I do not look like the same person as that person, so we might have to find some sort of updated picture.
It wouldn't even help in locating you.
No.
Yeah. Sam did not go for Becca. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But Haley, we've got it easy this week. We only have one show to talk about. Might have been a little bit of a slow episode, but it seems like
we're going to be counting our blessings in the next few weeks, because we've got quite a heavy schedule going on. If you haven't heard, Bachelor Winter Games is going to be airing next week and the week after that. And so we had originally thought, you and I, that ABC didn't want to waste their normal Bachelor episodes during this time because they knew that the numbers weren't going to do nearly as well because the Olympics were going on. We were horrifically wrong. That's not the case. The Bachelor will be airing regularly Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then the Bachelor Winter Games will be airing Tuesday and Thursday at 8 for the next 2 weeks. So it's going to be a long haul for us. So obviously we're going to be scheduled a little differently. We've decided that we're not going to try and shove the Bachelor episode together with the Winter Games episode. So you're going to get a little more content from us during those 2 weeks. So we're going to look to record the podcast right after the Bachelor episode on Monday nights. So
get your questions if you're watching live.
Right away,
otherwise,
I'll put a thread up right before the episode airs. So you can get your questions in. You know where to email us, bachelorwrapup@gmail.com. And then we are going to have our special episodes come out sometime during the weekend. We have great guests lined up for both of those episodes. And so we're looking on the bright side, right? I'm anxious and a little overwhelmed by the idea of all of this. We've got 12 hours of just Bachelor viewing content in the next 2 weeks coming towards us. But I'm excited about the guests and what we're going to talk about and all of that. Something else I'm really excited about is sportsbettingdime.com. They contacted us and let us know that they have a betting sheet out for the Bachelor Winter Games, of course. So I recently just did a Olympics podcast with Kiva Winokur and Brent Wolgamott. If you didn't know this about both of those guys, they love gambling. I'm going to try and get Akiva to watch the Bachelor, you know, goes along with his sports enjoyment. And his betting enjoyment. So this is going to be a great piece for him and all of you who are going to be missing your, what's it called? Your draft results.
Yeah, because our draft is getting a little predictable for our draft against Rourke. So we need something new. We're not doing our own draft for the Winter Games because we didn't know quite enough of the elements. But
this is going to be a really fun way to have some gambling in there if that's something you're into. So sportsbettingdime.com. They have some interesting stat set. Like they have the over-under number of couples at the end of the Bachelor Winter Games set at 3.5. Amy, are you taking the over the under on that?
Number of couples at the end of it? I think I'm taking the under.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the under too. Yeah. Let's set at 3.5. Tweet at us if you disagree with that, or I'm sure most of you agree. Some of the other fun odds they have is odds that the Bachelor Summer Games premieres in 2020. It's 15-1. That would actually be a lot of fun, although our summer schedule is very hectic.
Yeah, I like that they're fun elements. It's not like so technical, you know, it's just kind of like things that we would come up with.
Maybe not a fun element. Odds Chris Harrison starts the season with a code of conduct pep talk. 8-1. That might be off screen, but you never know. In my personal
favorite, you'd have to show up and actually do something if he did that.
Yeah, God forbid he actually earned his paycheck. And my personal favorite is odds a martini luge is used on the Bachelor Winter Games is set at 25-1.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking of how they would like kind of make these sports bachelor-esque, but I guess they're gonna have to. I wonder if they'll get kind of like Big Brother, where they're just like very phallic or, you know, sort of inappropriate.
I mean, The Bachelor likes to think it's like a classier show, but we know better than that.
Yeah.
So for all of these odds, just head on over to sportsbettingdime.com and search Bachelor, or go to our show notes over at robhasawebsite.com. You'll find our podcast. The link to the article will be right there for you in our show notes. So go on over there and check those out.
Perfect. So let's dive into this episode. They finally travel internationally. We are in Paris. How excited are you, Haley?
It's kind of, you know, like a downgrade from Fort Lauderdale. So,
oh, definitely.
Just kidding. I am so excited. I love Paris. I'm very Paris obsessed. I'm a Francophile. I have a big poster of Paris hanging above my bed that I've had for about 10 years now. I love Paris. This was so much fun. I loved seeing the city. I don't even care if this was kind of a bland episode. Just like the shots were so, so stunning. Like in the 2-on-1 date, when, spoiler alert, when Crystal and Kendall were sitting across from each other and Ari had his back to the literal Eiffel Tower, I was like, oh my God. I was loving it.
Yeah. There's a lot of scenic eye candy going on, and it was a little different too in terms of where they were staying. They're staying on a large boat, I guess, on the Seine. What did you think about that?
I thought it was pretty cool. Rourke tweeted last night something like, out of all the places in Paris, they're staying like in a boat. I thought this was kind of like a cool location. We've never really seen this before. And maybe next time I'm in Paris, I can rent out this entire boat. Just kidding. I can never afford that.
Yeah. The decor was a little bit 80s for me, but I liked how Tia just sort of put a nice spin on it. But you didn't get that. I can see where Rourke's coming from. You don't get that Parisian flavor of kind of those, you know, it's not Carrie Bradshaw on the top floor of a like a penthouse apartment waiting for Alexander Petrovsky or something. But it was very like, it's unique. And I guess if they don't want tourists coming up to them, or they can sort of contain the women in one spot, but it would be so tempting to, you know, want to get off and deboard and travel around. And maybe they were limited in that sense. So that could be kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. It's not a resort where you're going to have pool or spa that you can go to, but it was something different. And
I was a little confused at first, actually, when they got on the boat. It didn't click in until later that I was like, oh, that's where they're staying. Cool.
Right. Okay, that's where they're living. Yeah, and it worked out for the first one-on-one date to just kind of get picked up in a boat. They were already in a boat, and then they went in a smaller boat. This was with Lauren. So Lauren B finally gets her.
The final
first,
Lauren.
Yes. The remaining Lauren gets her first one-on-one. And I spent the first half just wondering one of two things. Does Lauren have a personality, or does she just not like Ari in that first half? What was going on there?
I think it's that she doesn't have a whole lot of personality. Not that she's not a perfectly nice gal. And not that she like doesn't have a personality. It's just that it's not one that has the ability to shine, A, on television, B, when you're surrounded by like 7 other girls with really big personalities. Like, I can understand why she'd be one to regress. But I thought we'd see a little more of her on this date, especially that's kind of something I like about these later dates is that sure, they're still getting to know the lead or whatever, but they know them quite a bit more than, say, the person who goes on the first one-on-one date. So there's already like a level of familiarity and a level of comfort there that the women at the beginning don't have. So I was pretty surprised to see that the date was this kind of awkward.
Yeah,
and I think Ari was surprised too.
I think so, because we usually like those dates where they're exploring the city, they're walking around, it's more like a real date. And
Amy, yeah. Did you know that Paris is a busy city? Like, really busy. Like, there's people walking around all the time.
It was just extra busy that day, apparently.
Yeah.
So it was too overwhelming for them.
I was like, yeah, of course it's busy. It's Paris. What
and
the hell did you
think?
Going
to all the touristy spots, like Luxembourg Gardens and just walking along the Seine. What do you expect? I don't know. But yeah, you'd think like, okay, they saw these touristy things. He pointed out some sort of cheese at the market. And she just, all she could say was, wow. And very quietly. It wasn't even like she really meant it. So I don't know. I didn't have high hopes for actually either of these one-on-ones becoming, you know, staying and getting a rose. But they both ended up, you know, finding their way and working it out in the second half, I guess. Mm-hmm. But
what I am going to give Ari credit for and mark this moment down, because it's okay. Not going to happen very often. I do think that Ari does enjoy a strong woman, kind of like Nick did. And obviously Ari isn't as shiny and personality driven as Nick is. So that's kind of, it's hard to pick up almost. Mm-hmm. But he really loves the Jacquelines and the Beccas and the Tias, who are really like spunky and fun and you know, have a lot going on.
Yeah.
And so it was really apparent to me in this Lauren B date that he likes a woman who is asking a lot of questions and, you know, making the conversation rather than having to rely on him to make the conversation.
Yeah. So we kind of saw, I think it was right at the commercial break. It was sort of like, okay, if I'm not seeing a connection by the end of this, then I'm going to let her go. And it wasn't really till they sat down at dinner. So I don't know if it was, she just wasn't comfortable out in public because it was so busy, or she needed Ari to say something personal first, because he kind of opened up with his own personal story of a breakup,
and that really seemed to open her floodgates.
Yeah,
in, like,
then
not
she could
dirtiest
talk
way possible.
Right. Whereas I feel like a lot of times we see, so maybe this is more natural, because a lot of times we see women coming into the dates where they just immediately tell some story and they're just ready, like, I've been waiting to share this when we had our one-on-one. He also mentioned that he was super attracted to her and was waiting, like he had saved this date for her. Is that something that you would take as flattering? Like, oh, I didn't get a one-on-one early on. He knew that he wanted to give me this international date? Or was, do you think that's just something he's saying because he feels bad that she was left till this time? I mean, there's only so many one-on-ones to go around.
That's interesting.
Would you rather, like, I want one of the really good ones in Paris, or I'd rather build that connection earlier?
I think I would rather one of these really cool special dates. Don't get me wrong. I would have loved Becca K's Pretty Woman date and get lots of free clothes.
Right.
But how do you pass up an opportunity to see Paris in, you know, a whole new way?
And not have to be on the Moulin Rouge date where you have to dance. That would be good. Good for me.
I would rather like peruse the catacombs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know, I don't fuck with ghosts or spirits. I'd rather do that than do the Moulin Rouge date.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rachel Lindsay was on Juliet Littman's podcast this past week. I didn't forget how much I loved her, but it reminded me how much I loved her and why I was so happy she was the Bachelorette. Anyway, she had mentioned it's always better to get the date in the middle because he's going to remember you.
Mm.
He's going to remember you more and remember the connection you had. And so it can be tough waiting for it, but it's worth it usually in the end.
Okay. Now, this isn't really a spoiler because it was in... So you know how during the episode they're like, stay tuned for a special preview during The Good Doctor. Now, I don't watch The Good Doctor, but I don't
remember seeing that.
Okay, maybe it's not a Canada thing.
Hear me out. I was yesterday after work, I went to the library because I had to bring back a book. It was Big Little Lies. Great book, by the way. Probably not going to watch the show. Don't
ask really?
Me.
Oh.
I don't know.
I did the opposite. I just watched the show.
It was really good, though.
Yeah.
So I got more books. Mm-hmm. One of them had like a, you know, it's one of the new books, so it has like a 2-week rental period instead. So when I got home from the library, I was like, you know what, I'm going to start this book. And I ended up finishing it last night.
Oh, wow.
So I was reading it during commercials. It was called Breaking Free. It's the story of Rachel Jeffs, who is one of Warren Jeff's daughters from the FLDS cult.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, it was intense. So during commercials, I was reading that, so I wasn't super paying attention. So they may have said that. Like, oh, stay tuned to The Good Doctor. But of course, I wasn't going to fucking watch The Good Doctor. Are you kidding me?
No, luckily the preview was only... It was during the first commercial break, and I was lazy. I just stayed on the couch. I'm like, what can they really show that they didn't already show? So they at least worked on me to get me to watch the first part of that show. But the preview that they showed, this might go to your point of what Rachel was saying, is a date card comes, it's a one-on-one, and Lauren gets it again.
What?
Yeah. Which is like unheard of. So, and then all the other women were like, what? And she was like, I didn't expect this. So I guess she's top of his mind right now. So I thought that was kind of strange.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's doing stronger than I would have predicted. And yeah, so that's something to look forward to next week. What did you think of Ari's revelation about his serious relationship? He said the most serious relationship he had, the woman already had two kids, and then they found out that she was pregnant with his child. He was traveling a lot, and then while they were traveling, he couldn't really help it from his racing, it sounded like. And while he was traveling, he got a call that she said, she lost the baby, and when you come back, I won't be here, or something like that. So it was pretty intense.
Very, very, very intense. And as much as it's like, it really sucks that that is a situation that happened to Ari, and I wouldn't wish that on the most boring bachelor in the world. it was this episode. I felt like we got to see more of Ari's personality, and some of his personality is a little cringeworthy, but aren't we all? but this moment, I was like, okay, like I get him a little bit more. Like I can understand where he's coming from and why he's being a little guarded and maybe a little uncomfortable and nervous about maybe Becca or, you know, I appreciate him opening up and us being able to see a little bit of a different side of him.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, it led Lauren to open the floodgates and she talked about just how, I guess, like her parents' marriage is a little bit rocky and she's very guarded because she was engaged in the past. And
to an NHL player, by the way.
Oh, everyone. Was it? Ooh, yeah. Gossip. And then he started treating her bad once she had the ring on the finger. And so it just made her more guarded. And I think Ari can kind of, it seems like he'll pick out people that, well, one, he's attracted to, but if it's like with the first, the Becca who had the first date, saying like, oh, you remind me of how I was. And I was a little bit, you know, caught off guard the first night and a little skeptical. And so maybe with seeing that she isn't comfortable opening up, if he's attracted and has a connection with that person, he's going to be patient with them and let them stick around. Whereas I think there are other people who had trouble opening up, but if there just wasn't the chemistry there, they're gone home already.
Or some people who really did open up and ooh, too much. They're gone.
Yeah. One way or the other. So she gets the rose and then we're on to the group date with Becca K, Cien, Becca M, Tia, Chelsea, and Jenna. And they probably were all a little bit relieved because the other option, if you're not getting the one-on-one, was the two-on-one date. So that left Jacqueline, Crystal, and Kendall. And even Crystal was like, I wonder who's going on the two-on-one with me. Like she just knew.
That was pretty brilliant. Yeah. I love that on her part. She was just like, listen, I know I'm the drama, so...
And she called it like at the very beginning. Like she knew before any dates were announced. Like, yep, I'm going on the two-on-one. So yes, we all knew it, but at least she's that self-aware to know. All right, so the group date was at Moulin Rouge. And like you and I said, not our ideal date, but it seemed like most of the women were excited.
We're not the type of people who usually wear skimpy clothing and go on stage and do stuff.
Yeah.
If that is your thing, absolutely power to you. I am just not confident enough in, you know, all of this to do that. not for me, not a great dancer. Like I tweeted, I would have much preferred to be eating crepes with Nutella than doing this, even a little bit.
Yeah. Even just, I mean, being a spectator at the show, that'd be fine. But just know on those shows, on those dates like that, they're always going to have a participation element. Only one of them had to do it for the live audience, but they still had to get in these really skimpy costumes with thongs, and we got the black bar treatment on a lot of them. So
welcome back to the black box, everyone. We haven't seen that in a while.
Exactly. And Ari made a point to say, like, this wasn't like a competition date where you have the best choreography, you get chosen, which I feel like for a lot of these, it never really is. It is just who they want to award that one-on-one time to. But he said this is based on our previous connection, and he gives it to Becca M. So she was definitely excited about it. So I'm glad he didn't pick Tia, who wouldn't have wanted to do it, even though she said she would have. But I think the funniest part for me was just the other women watching Becca perform with their arms crossed, glaring, and not really enjoying the rest of the date because they had to kind of sit there.
Yeah, what, that seems like torture, right?
And I'm trying to remember, like, what other... I know Caitlyn's season, they had the Aladdin date where...
Oh, my God.
Broadway.
Yeah, but did the other guys stay?
I think they did, but...
Right.
They probably didn't care as much. But, you know, for all these women being so excited to see a performance at Moulin Rouge and to be there... And then it was just like, it ruined it for all of them.
Maybe Becca K was actually just more upset about Ari's really terrible lip syncing to French monologue.
And how he looked in that costume. That was not a good look. Yeah, that was, not a great performance on his part. And he didn't really have much to do. He just had to lip sync, right?
Yeah, and it was not good.
No.
I get French is not his first language. But since he probably knew about this date, he could have asked for like the audio recording.
Yeah.
Maybe practice a little bit.
Right. Yeah. So I guess he won't be texting January Jones about doing lip sync battle anytime soon, unlike Nick Vile. But yeah, I guess the good part for Becca, too, besides getting to perform, was then she has the security of moving on. Anything else that stood out to you from this date?
Not really. It was pretty low key. All the girls seemed to get along. No drama. You know, whatever.
Yeah, we got to save the drama for the next date, which is the 2-on-1. So, did you have any thoughts of which way it was going to go? If it was going to be Crystal pitted against Kendall or
I probably Jacqueline? Figured it was going to be a Kendall.
Yeah, Kendall had been the one kind of talking with her before when they had the issue last week with her deciding not to go on the date. And so it was Crystal and Kendall, and they went to a chateau and had a little tea party to set the mood. They also had a maze competition to find Ari in this, like, garden maze.
Yeah, very odd. I also say no to mazes.
Okay. Why is
Again,
that?
Again, I don't want to be murdered. It's, you know, just such a ploy for murder.
Ooh, like a haunted corn maze or just any maze?
Any maze. Like,
okay.
Tell me one maze that has ended up in not murder.
I mean, I guess this one, but...
it was debatable. Kind
of brutal getting rid of Kendall or Crystal. So... Yeah, I thought this was just awkward all around. I was really sure that Crystal was going to stay, however.
I kind of thought she was, too.
I thought she, with Ari, seemed to handle herself pretty well and clarify the situation and look a little better.
And he didn't lead on to say, he wasn't, I don't know, he didn't seem as affected by it as he did last week. Obviously he was probably a little, a little hotter then.
I guess the one bad look was that she made a point to say, I don't think Kendall is ready for marriage. So she did talk bad about her opponent on the date, but we didn't really see much of Kendall and Ari's time together.
No, but he did mention, hey, like, Crystal said this. Like, what do you think?
He's fine throwing her under the bus.
Yeah, that seemed odd. Odd move. Mm-hmm. She was like, obviously, that's not true. Like, you know, I came here for the prospect of falling in love. And if I do, awesome. If I don't, you know, it's not the end of the world. But, like, I am here for you and for this reason. So the fact that she would even say that. And mm-hmm. then they had a very interesting conversation. I don't know how you feel about this, Amy.
Okay.
Because I have some good feelings and I have some bad feelings about it. Kendall sat down with Crystal and, you know, brought up to her and that she didn't think it was very cool that Crystal mentioned Kendall's relationship with mm-hmm. Ari to Ari because it's not really any of her business. She doesn't really know. She doesn't know where she's at. Mm-hmm. And then she, like, scooted closer to her and grabbed her hand and, you know, said... Like, I know you're broken. I know your sadness and, you know, none of us can understand the pain you've been through. And I just need you to let love in and know that you're loved and that everything's going to be okay and blah, blah, blah. So, this was an interesting thing to do. It's not what I would do because I love to stew in my own hatred rather than, you know, open up to people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just not for me. And Crystal didn't really take too kindly to this either. She called it, quote, condescending and patronizing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, Crystal, every fucking thing you've said on this season has been condescending and patronizing. Yeah. So I guess... you do know what it is, at least, because it's what you spew.
Right.
But in Crystal's defense, it was a little condescending and patronizing.
Right.
And you would...
it seemed weird to bring up... Because, well, I was surprised even that the women knew about anything about Crystal's pain or past, because it seemed like something that she... brought up to Ari and then was very private to the other women and didn't seem to be really clicking with anyone. So I don't know that it's like a, whatever she revealed, I don't know that it's great to bring that up when they're on this kind of date scenario and to just, that rubbed me the wrong way. The way she brought it up.
Kendall, read the room. Like, it was very clear that Crystal was not taking that in. Mm-hmm. So at one point you probably should have been like, all right, like, I get that this isn't going anywhere. You know, I wish you the best.
Right. I think her, Kendall, maybe just sticking to, hey, you don't know if I'm ready for marriage or not. You haven't gotten to know me. Let's just focus on, you know, our connection with Ari and, individually, and may the best woman win kind of thing would have been a better approach. And because I think last week she really got through to Crystal with just sort of speaking more about logic rather than making it more personal and just saying like, okay, well, you know, by you doing this, it was hypocritical and, mm-hmm. you know, and saying, so yeah, I can see where, Crystal was coming from and thinking it was condescending. Even though, yes, she is condescending to others, but it just wasn't the time or place, you know? Like,
God, all of them are dumb. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I truly don't mean that. I really do like a lot of these women. And I do like Kendall, and I think she was trying to do the right thing. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt here. She was trying to do the right thing, but it just wasn't coming across super well. And especially because someone like Kendall, I don't think a lot of these women take super seriously just because of, you know, some of her taxidermy, and her passions. And she is an odd duck.
Right. So it seemed a little odd for that to just be coming, you know, this full force psychological analysis coming at her right then from Kendall. Yeah. It might have been better left, and who knows, maybe she did say it like to Ari, but just kind of saying like, oh, you know, like, I understand Crystal, you know, if she wanted to sort of talk about Crystal, like, oh, I can understand her maybe throwing shade my way, like she's been through a lot or something like that, and just kind of leave it there and not say it directly to Crystal. But let's see, even though Ari and Crystal had a pretty good talk, and his big point was you know, you just need to come to me first. Why were you saying all this stuff on the bus? If we're in a relationship, like, I want you to have that trust to just bring an issue to me. We could have talked through it before you just vent to other people or going to other people. So hopefully that message got through. It seemed like it did. But then, of course,
Didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
She was sent home almost immediately.
Right. So he chose Kendall, and we got the classic 2-on-1 reaction when it goes the way the women want it to go, where they're toasting, they're popping champagne back on the boat when they see her suitcase being pulled away. Did you do something similar watching on your TV?
I thought I'd be more excited than I actually was. I was almost kind of like sad because it was just kind of, I felt like Crystal deserved more of an explanation, and I think she deserved to be walked out by Ari and have a moment alone with him for him to, you know, truly be like, this is why, you know, whatever. And it was just very, it was kind of off-putting, and it was odd that he chose to kind of say his final words with Kendall there and then just walk off and kind of left her there. And especially because they did have a pretty serious connection, and she met his parents, and, you know, she was chosen for that date for a reason.
Right.
And, you know, whatever, we could say whatever she's done during the season to the other women, and, you know, maybe even to Ari, but, like, I think she deserved a better ending than this, or at least a more explained ending. It just, I know a lot of the times in these, you know, with the villain, we often see the villain go out in these 2-on-1s.
Right.
And in the past, it's been super satisfying, but for some reason, it wasn't satisfying here.
Yeah, and I think what's different about this one is that she, like you said, she did have that early date on the first episode. And usually these 2-on-1s, it's two people that the lead is kind of, you know, meh about both, or they haven't had a 1-on-1. So they could really go either way. And a lot of times two of them end up going home. Whereas this is like one, Crystal had the clear advantage in one way of having more time with him and him knowing her better. But the issue was that she was polarizing and they had that drama last week. But usually that person still isn't the one who is chosen for a 2-on-1 if they have that strong connection. So he must have known almost that he wanted to get rid of her.
But then why not just, like, I get it, it's a TV show, whatever, but why not just get rid of her? It would have been, it would have been a more dramatic and more satisfying if they got to Paris and, you know, after the first 1-on-1 date, he pulled her aside and said, listen, I can't stop thinking about Fort Lauderdale, and I just don't think I can move on from this. I'm really sorry. You need to leave. That would have been more exciting, more dynamic, more fulfilling television thing and, you know, a storyline thing than this was.
Right. Yeah. And it does seem like she was somebody that should have had like the walking out, and it was just awkward the way that they just sort of walked off. And it's not like they were in a place where she's stranded in the desert and they have to like fly away in a helicopter and make it extra dramatic, but it was just sort of, it just seemed rude. Like, okay, we're just going to walk by.
See ya, have a great time. Enjoy Paris.
We're going to the Eiffel Tower and you can look out the window.
Also, did Kendall eat her entire rose?
Why do you say that?
Because it had no petals on it when they got to the Eiffel Tower.
That's so funny. Maybe it was extra windy or something. I don't know. I didn't notice that. That has to be some kind of bad luck, I would think. But I don't know. Who knows? What did you think of Becca's comment where she was like, these girls are going to be shocked if they're saying they'll be shocked if Crystal stays, but I wouldn't. Trump won, so nobody thought that would happen.
I don't even want to touch it. Yeah. I'm not touching this. I'm not touching it. I'm not doing it.
I thought it was funny that they put it in, though.
I thought so, too. Especially because you would think a lot of this audience is, you know,
well,
Trump
category. I don't know which way.
I don't know. You know?
Yeah. I guess it's like, it, you know, shows Becca's leanings, and so she's free to say it. And so I think there it's more maybe characterizing her, and I just like that she says whatever she's thinking.
It's not an incorrect comparison.
Trump and Crystal.
you mean like that? I didn't mean like that. I meant the situation.
Okay.
No, okay, we're moving past this. I'm done here. I'm done with this.
All right, let's move on to the final one-on-one with Jacqueline.
This is the first time we've met Jacqueline, more or less. Congrats. Welcome to the show, Jack.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny. Like, she's just like, yeah, we're crazy attracted to each other. Oh. And so it's like, what? We haven't seen any of this. We've heard him talking about all these other women, but you haven't really come up any other time. It was sort of a mini version of Becca's Pretty Woman date. She did get to go shopping at a boutique and pick out a dress. She didn't really seem that into it. She was a little more intimidated, I think. And I think she just went with like the first black dress. So she's like, okay, this is fine.
And Ari is clearly like super into her and like wants to make out with her all the time. And it just seems like weird that this is the type of guy she is going for in the nicest possible way.
Well, and they even discuss it on the date because he said that he was sort of he was intimidated by her.
Love that he knows she's too good for him.
Right. I like that he'll actually say that, you know. Mm-hmm. Which reminds me, I didn't mention before, but it was so weird to me on the Lauren P date. He was like, yeah, I just want to I like you. I want to know if you like me. And she just sort of nodded like, oh yeah. And she didn't say anything back. And so she wasn't giving him the reassurance. Whereas like they kind of, when he was with short hair Becca, they had that similar kind of banter, but it actually was banter back and forth. And they flirted about it like, oh yeah, so far so good, I like you. And she just wasn't giving any of it back. Here he like puts it out to Jacqueline like, yeah, I was just worried like I didn't have anything to offer you. And she kind of asks about that. So I thought that was good that he brought that up. I don't know if she really like, I don't know, like should she be bending over backwards for him? Like, I don't know if she really like answered the question of like what he offers her or not.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Are they just attracted to each other?
Yeah, and that's fine. I like that he was kind of willing to be like, hey, I don't like you're doing cool stuff. Like, I don't want to stand in your way. But I wanted him to be a little more, you know, if you're the right person, I have no issue being where you need to be because I'm a real estate agent. Like, it's,
yeah,
you know, we can figure it out.
Right. I know.
I wanted him to be more committed to following her.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I think because it almost seemed like he was really like going to let her go because of just the 6-year thing, and maybe was thinking like, well, okay, I'm not gonna do it this time, but this is the issue that I'm bringing up, kind of like with Becca's age, like I'm gonna bring it up now, I still want to see where this goes, and okay, if you're the one I fall deeply in love with, it won't be an issue, but it's obviously weighing on his mind because I don't think he wants to leave Scottsdale. He's got everything going there, and I feel like his other conversations with the women, I mean, he even had a date there early on with Crystal and showing his life there with Tia. She talks about how she can do her job anywhere. And he's like, oh, yeah, there's lots of old people there for your job. And it didn't seem like Jacqueline was willing to budge, and he's not willing to budge. And it's not like she should be. But 6 years is kind of a long time. And it sounds like she's staying at the school she's at. It wasn't like she was saying, well, oh, well, I can transfer this job, this place after this. It was sort of like, this is the realistic situation. And so I think it's just something that, you know, if she makes it to hometowns, I just think it's going to keep being the sticking point between them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I was for sure thinking that she was going to be gone, but she gets the rose.
We were wrong.
She's on Rourke's draft, so she's not going anywhere. That's what I'm figuring out. Yeah, so even though we haven't seen anything of them up to this point, she gets the rose. So then I'm left thinking, like, who's going home from the rose ceremony besides...
How many did you think were going home? I thought maybe one, but it made more sense that two were going home.
I thought maybe it would have been one, because maybe it was just because I could only think of one, which was Jenna, the blonde, and just because we hadn't seen anything of her. But we get to the rose ceremony. No cocktail party at this point.
Thank God.
Yeah. And
this was another episode that I was like, oh, there's no way we're getting the rose ceremony tonight.
Oh, yeah. I know.
But we did. So we
did.
Hallelujah.
Right. So three roses were handed out. Two went home. So it was Tia, Sien, and Becca K that got called. And then Chelsea and Jenna were the ones who did not get roses. What did you think about Chelsea?
I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Chelsea, I was pretty surprised about, honestly.
Me too. We didn't see any like trouble around their relationship. Last time we checked, it was strong. We know he's dated mothers in the past. So that didn't seem to be an issue. And we didn't see him like say like, oh, well, I know that I want to send you home to be with your daughter. You know, which we see in the past sometimes.
Yeah, like usually with parents, we get the, hey, I'm sending you home now because I don't want to put you through the rose ceremony when you're just going to go home.
Right. Right. I don't want to keep you any longer if I have stronger connections. So, yeah, that was surprising. I know early on we had thought she was like a hometown lock. So that was interesting that we saw two people with one-on-ones that we saw nothing of up to this point, but they surged ahead. So it kind of goes again to what Rachel was saying about it's good to get these later ones because you're more memorable. And he's probably comparing with earlier connections where you're not, I don't know, you're not going to have as strong of a connection right away necessarily, or it feels like it's fading if you see them on group dates later on. So yeah, that was interesting. Now, one strange thing about this rose ceremony is that we got like weird.
Some after?
Yeah, like after. I don't even know how to describe it exactly. Like into the mic conversations where they're just, it just wasn't like typical polished bachelor
television
rose ceremony.
It was very breaking the fourth wall. We didn't see the producer that Lauren was talking to, but it was clear she was talking to one, and that's the only thing that made sense. Like we even saw Tia giving a TMI in the background. TMI in the ITM.
I was like, what did Tia reveal? That was TMI. I'm like, I missed this. Tia and her TMIs.
An ITM. Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think was the point of this? I'm trying to remember exactly what Lauren was saying. Was it that she was surprised? Well, the other girls were saying they were surprised. Like, I think they showed Becca being like, who was shocked that Chelsea went home? So those women were all shocked.
I'm trying to think what she said. It was very.
Like she was jealous or.
But it made sense to me. Like, she was kind of like panicking about.
After you have
a one-on-one date, you would think like, oh, I have this stronger connection. And now I'm really into this dude. And now, you know, I've told him this thing and he told me this thing. And now, you know, we're panicked. Like, I could see what was going on. I hope that Lauren's not being made into the new villain because I don't know.
Did she say anything bad about anybody?
I don't think so.
Just more like insecure.
Yeah, I would say just more insecure.
I didn't go back and watch it again, but I just kept thinking, why are they showing us this? What is it? Is it foreshadowing something? I know we see in the previews that someone comes back and says, like, this is my girl and she's mine, or some ex-boyfriend or something. But I just thought it was very odd that they
very odd.
Are showing this. But we know she gets a one-on-one next week, so... maybe that will secure her a little bit more. So that was this episode. We have some questions. I have to pull up the draft results. But before we get to that, I feel like I need a little bit of a pick me up, Haley. And one thing that I've been loving lately are RX bars. How about you?
I agree with you. I got mine in the mail not too long after we talked about them last time. I actually have one for breakfast this morning, and it was perfect. It was exactly what I needed at that time of day.
Yeah, I mean, RX bars, they have 3 egg whites, 2 dates, 6 almonds, and then the natural flavors that come with them. I really like them for breakfast. What's your favorite flavor?
I'm really into the blueberry.
Oh, okay. I like the fruity.
I love the blueberry and I love the mixed berry. Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite is the chocolate coconut because it reminds me of like a macaroon
vacation.
Cookie. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's like guilt-free. Mm-hmm. I get my protein and I don't have that crash that I would have if I was grabbing a donut at the office. So it's kind of like my...
Not at all. Yeah, you don't get a crash at all. And usually, you know, if I eat at about 9:30, I get hungry at 10:30 or 11. I don't... Mm-hmm. When I eat these, I don't get hungry because there's so much protein in it coming from the egg whites mm-hmm. that I'm good until lunch. I don't need a snack.
Yeah, that's awesome. So they're an easy, you know, on the go breakfast, a snack at the office, throw it on your bag. If you travel a lot, keep one in your glove box in the car. If you get stuck in traffic, it's just really great for like that 4 p.m. energy slump as well, when you're just like, okay, you want to grab a soda or something else, but have something that's tastier and is going to sustain you. Pre or post workout snack, if I was into working out, I would use it for that.
Yeah, if we were the people to want to go to the gym, this would be like the perfect snack. They're gluten free, soy free, dairy free, and they come in a 11 flavors, you know, and we mentioned some of our favorites, but then there's chocolate peanut butter, you said chocolate coconut, mm-hmm. you know, straight up chocolate. Like there's so many different kinds. So there's something for everyone.
Yeah. So for 25% off your first order, visit rxbar.com/batch and enter the promo code batch, BACH at checkout. And let us know what you think, because we've been loving them.
We've been really enjoying them. You know how we love snacks.
Yeah, exactly. And it's about time I try something else here.
And you know, it's something else we love, Amy.
What's that?
Wine.
Oh my gosh. I can't get through an episode without some. You know how that is. Yeah. So one great way to get wine delivered straight to your door is with Wink. They'll customize the selection of wine for you based on your preferences. And it's not stuffy like going to a wine store and where you might feel overwhelmed if you're not a sommelier or some kind of wine expert. Simple questions like, oh, do you like citrus fruits? Or how do you feel about coffee? And you answer those simple questions. They'll send you right to your door, personalized, match your taste, a selection of wines based on your answers to the palate profile quiz. And there's no commitment, you can skip any month, cancel any time. Shipping is covered. So if you don't like a bottle they send you, they'll replace it with a bottle that you'll love. No questions asked. To discover great wine today, go to trywink.com/batch and you'll get $20 off your first shipment. That's trywink.com/BACH for $20 off. trywink.com/batch. All right, Haley, let's get into these questions.
Let's do it. Let me pull them up again so I can be right along with you while you're reading them.
All right. So the first one is an email. It is from Jessica Grimo, who kindly sent a pronunciation assistant, like a phonetic spelling of her last name, which is always helpful.
Very helpful.
Yes. So her question is about the Moulin Rouge date. Girls walk up to the building with giant Moulin Rouge sign. Becca, guys, it's Moulin Rouge. Random other girl. Wait, is that really the Moulin Rouge? Cacophony of other girls, several gasps. No, 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 it's not. All right, yep, you guessed it. It's the Moulin Rouge. There's literally a sign that says Moulin Rouge right in front of them. There was no guessing involved. Watching this part made me wonder what it would be like if The Bachelor was filmed like The Office, i.e. the camera zooms in on a sign right behind Ari, clearly reading Moulin Rouge, and we cut to a relatively sane gym-esque contestant who gives classic head-shaking, these people are idiots look. But seriously.
And she helpfully included a GIF. So.
Yes, that was very nice. I'm trying to think which contestant would be the gym if we had one here in this season. Would it be the... Well, Becca was the one who was like, it's the Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, maybe but, her. Maybe... Give me Jacqueline.
Jacqueline?
Yeah.
But seriously, how much better do you think this series would be if it was filmed like The Office or Parks and Rec? Perhaps the Bachelor franchise could be more self-aware about their show and capitalize on how ridiculous it is, like in The Office. Thoughts? Love the show, Jessica.
So I think that The Bachelor has actually been doing this a little more in the last couple of seasons, especially since we started. I feel like we probably saw that turn right when we started podcasting. I feel like before that, The Bachelor took itself very seriously.
Yeah, I think Bachelor in Paradise helped with that because that really doesn't take it seriously.
No, there's lots of those like moments where they're, you know, looking at each other. I just worry about this, you know, one person, these people are idiots looking to the camera. Is that everyone would try to be that person once one person did and like everyone saw that season? They'd all want to be that person. We'd have like, it would just be too much camera pandering.
Yeah, I could see that. And at some point, like, I like little glimpses, but I think it's on us to be those people because we need to like just make fun of them.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. But I should have just read this question when we were describing the date because that is how it happened. It's like a great little reenactment here. This is an email from Dan C. Amy and Haley, last week you were trying to convince yourselves that Tia would be the best bachelorette. Let me remind you that we already have a great candidate in Christina. From having to eat lipstick as a child to witnessing Dean transform into a moron, she deserves a chance at love. Let's start the movement for Christina for Bachelorette right here, right now on Bachelor Wrap-Ups. All right, what do you think, Haley?
So thank you, Dan. This email was actually was meant to be asked last week.
Okay.
But it got a little buried in my inbox and he emailed me back being like, hey, was that question too long? Like, and I was like, no, Dan, like, I'm so sorry. This is all my fault. Like, no, like we've read longer questions. Yeah. I kind of forgot about Christina. Honestly, she would be a fun one. I'd like to see her. She's sassy and wouldn't take any shit and would be great. I would love to see her as the Bachelorette.
Yeah, it has been hard like to really see the standout Bachelorette yet in this cast. I don't know if they would be willing to jump to another season again.
But they've done it the last two seasons with The Bachelor.
They've done it with The Bachelor, but yeah.
So why the hell not?
I know. I'm just me being cynical about what
I know
the way they are with The Bachelorette. It's kind of like how we're thinking, like, okay, would they have CN as The Bachelorette? Would they, you know, have a diverse contestant 2 years in a row? And like,
God
my
forbid.
Cynicism says no. although I did see, like, I think it was Mike Fleiss. There was something quoted about him where he's like, he was disappointed, as he should be, that the ratings were down for Rachel's season. And he was kind of like, well, I'm not going to let that affect, you know, like, I feel like, that wouldn't, because he was disappointed that society reacted that way, if it was based on Rachel's race, that he wouldn't shy away from having another one. Almost like he wanted to, I think his quote was like, give America their medicine or something like that. Like, no, I'm going to do it again. And
good.
You're going to like
it.
You know
what? That's what needs to happen. And honestly, it should have been happening before. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, awesome that Mike Fleiss is saying this now.
Now, yeah.
But he's had control over the, you know, he's had a hand in casting.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that he, you know, then why didn't he personally say, I know it sounds so, so terrible, like saying I need 5 women of color to fill a quota, which is terrible and not what I mean. But also, like, great, Mike, you know, there was 3 seasons in a row where there was like maybe one person of color, maybe
right,
one.
Right.
And they went out night one.
Right.
So the fact that we are finally getting representation from these amazing women, it makes me hopeful that we are going to have more women and men of color on the show as leads. You know, in Bachelor in Paradise staying the whole time. So I hope that he stands by that and we do see that more. But I'm, again, I'm being a little cynical. I'm not getting my hopes up too high. You know, it's just, it's tough.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, this is what you and I want to see.
Right. And I feel like they have just like a short attention span, the audience, so that, yes, after Bachelor in Paradise, everyone was like, oh, we need Christina for The Bachelorette. She'd be perfect. So I would love to see that they do that. But I'm not holding my breath, but I would love it. I think she is a really strong candidate. And I feel like as of right now, she's stronger to me than kind of who's left in the running that we know of. Just, I mean, I think Becca, short hair Becca, is just too young probably. So yeah. I don't know that they would go with her. I think she's a really strong personality and would be fun. But I feel like, you know, they could bring her back in a couple of years. But I feel like, yeah, maybe they need to jump to someone else. And that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I think so.
Here's questions from Facebook. Tim Shields. Since Crystal was about 85% of anything mildly interesting about this season, and glam shaming was the other 15, is there any conceivable reason to continue with this dreary slog? Do I have your permission to quit watching the show and listen to the podcast only?
Yeah, you absolutely have your our permission to do that, as long as you keep listening to the show. Yeah, I could see why this might be the time a lot of people who, you know, aren't hardcore into the show drop out. Tim, I would say at least, what would you say, Amy? 25, 15% of our audience straight up does not watch the show.
I know.
And they may have tuned in for an episode or two. Like, I bet there's people who've been listening since the beginning who have not seen an episode of The Bachelor or Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise since they started listening to us.
I know. It's crazy to me. But they're getting the info about what's happening. They don't have to suffer through it. We suffer through it for them. I did see a lot of comments just kind of in general across Twitter, like, why should I keep watching? We need Crystal for the drama. So we saw that clip of Lauren at the end. You were worried that maybe is she like being poised to be the new villain? Do you think someone is going to step into that role? Or are we just going to be...
I mean,
devoid
I thought Chelsea was going to be stepping back into that role, but no, she's gone too.
She's gone
so
too.
I really don't know.
Yeah, they're all getting along. Christine Radice, why is it I enjoyed Corinne so much, but not Crystal when they're similar archetypes? I think because Corinne was hilarious and Crystal is just sad and delusional. Also, which is worse to keep, a person who admitted they'd try eating people or Crystal? Good callback there. I almost forgot about that. How quickly we forget.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we try and put the cannibalism out of our mind.
Yeah.
I think this is actually a really great question from Christine. Like, why did we enjoy Corinne more than we like Crystal? Here's my theory, is that she is genuinely more likable. What we mentioned quite a few times when we were podcasting about next season is that it was very clear that the other women enjoyed having Corinne around. They were just more disappointed in Nick and how he acted when he was with Corinne. Like, they were mad at Corinne. They're like, oh, Corinne's being Corinne. That's just who she is. She's napping. She's, you know, trying to do it on a bouncy castle in front of us. Like, eh, whatever, Corinne. And Corinne was never like malicious about it, but there's always like a feeling of maliciousness and competitiveness when it comes to Crystal that I just don't think we saw in Corinne.
Mm-hmm. And I think Corinne, she kind of had those silly like comments about napping or cheese pasta where she was open. She wasn't like hiding things from the women. She wasn't trying to act superior in any way. She was just being herself. Whereas Crystal is kind of carrying that air of like, I have this special connection no one can understand, and really talking down to them, saying that, you know, nobody's on her level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These are from the patrons. Will Holston, which of these things is the most missing? Crystal's self-awareness, Lauren B's personality, or Becca M? All right. This is when we talk about the news.
Yeah, let's just get into it. So many of you sent us this story over the week, and we love it so much. There's nothing I love more than like the community we formed around us. And the fact that as soon as like any piece of Bachelor news comes out, we have a lot of people sending it to us, and I love it so much. So this story came out this week that Becca was on a missing persons list in a county in California. Her mom had, you know, called and put her on that list because she hadn't heard from her in a few days after she said she was going to California. I'm a little confused about the timeline mm-hmm. and whether it was not whether or not it was when she was going on The Bachelor.
I understand.
And she didn't tell her mom, or if it was like after she got home and then she again didn't tell her where she was going or something like that.
Becca tweeted, like, "Mom, I told you I don't get cell service on The Bachelor." So I think Becca made it seem like it was while she was on The Bachelor. Maybe,
but the timeline was a little off.
The timeline is more like once filming ended. And apparently she came home, you know, when filming was done, and then was going to work on a marijuana farm for a week, and there wasn't reception there. And so maybe like she's trying to spin it for like, hey, it was when I was on The Bachelor or whatever, if there's like something about like she didn't want that to be out there, or if that gives some indication of how she did on the show. Like, is that what you'd be doing if you won or not? I don't know. So,
yeah.
But she was just kind of making a joke about it and saying like, the worst part is that now this picture's out here from when I was 15. And I guess people are commenting like, oh, she's had a nose job and all this because, you know, she's going to look different. She's like, no, I learned how to contour. But I guess, yeah, like they just never maybe closed the loop, and the mom never called and said like, oh, I found her or something.
Yeah.
And somebody just randomly commented on, I think, a Facebook page of this, the police or something, on saying like, does anyone recognize these 35 missing people?
And yeah, like this girl's literally on The Bachelor right now. Like that was one of the headlines. Like,
I mean,
she's
guess
on The Bachelor.
Technically it films in the past, so she could be missing, but she is on Instagram, so I think she's got it all cleared up. But that is just so random.
It just makes no sense.
Yeah, but at least it's a happy ending to a missing person story, but it wasn't like she was really missing ever. So she's just got a concerned mom, sounds like. So to answer Will's question, though, who or what is the most missing? Crystal's self-awareness, Lauren B's personality, or Becca M?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with Lauren's personality. Sorry, Lauren, I feel really bad about that.
Yeah, I mean, we had a whole half of the date where we didn't see much. And when she was talking about herself, it still wasn't like a ton of personality there. Even Ari was like, I see little glimpses of it. And what I see, I like. So we'll hold out for her next date and see what happens. Justin Feinberg, all this talk of Paris being such a romantic city, was Fort Lauderdale not good enough for them?
I know. Can you believe it?
Oh, man. Felipe Shimon, is it actually a good thing that Ari is so boring because we haven't had a TBC, to be continued, episode yet?
Thank God. Like, it feels so good that they're finally listening to what the audience wants. And it's just like, you know what? We're just going to end the episode where it should be ending.
Yeah, it was really, really chaotic when we had those episodes, just to try to podcast and remember like, okay, well, when we left, there were this many people. And then in the middle of the episode, this person
went home.
And poor
George was having to like try and track our draft and be like, this happened and I can't remember in this. He was always good at remembering. It's us who was not good at remembering.
No, it's just hard to structure a podcast around that. So that is a nice silver lining. Amanda Danforth, who has more emotional intelligence, Taylor or Kendall? I was impressed how Kendall made herself heard and did so in a proactive way, but Crystal thought it was condescending. Thoughts?
I agree with both the points. Like, Kendall did make herself heard, but she was a little condescending. She has more emotional intelligence. Probably Kendall, because she doesn't talk about it all the time.
Right. And even
now, like, Taylor's tweets are just so annoying. Like, she tweeted something like emotional intelligence and then, like, had her own gif of her, like, saying it or something like that. It was just not. It, like, Taylor, like, why do you have to do this to us constantly?
Yeah. And Kendall, what I thought was nice was later on when Crystal was really trying to spin it, like when Ari was there and kind of just before, like just making it look like, yeah, we had our nice talk. We talked things out. She wasn't just like agreeing with everything Crystal said and let, you know, she kind of held her ground and was just sort of like, okay. And when Crystal was saying like, we have really similar views, she said, I think, yeah, we do have similar views on things, but we express it differently. She wasn't just kind of letting Crystal own that conversation about like, oh, we're just the same. And making herself look better. This is from Felipe Shimon again. What is wrong with me? I know I should not like her, but I'm really upset we lost Crystal and her glitter bombs.
Yeah, it's going to be weird with her gone because she has provided so much of the quote-unquote entertainment this season.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see.
Right. Yeah, and she had some fun quotes this episode, like, I am wife material. I am fun wife material. And, oh, Arya, I love the depth and texture of our relationship. And so we got some questions, I think, on Twitter about, like, what is the depth and texture of your relationships? And, you know, what kind of wife material would you be?
We said that the texture of our, you and I's relationship is like a nice plaid flannel.
Yes, I have plaid flannel pajama pants on right now. This is my podcast uniform. I know. I can't imagine ever saying something like that to someone.
I have never once said out loud that I am wife material, because God, is that not the truth?
I know. I'm like, would I be lazy wife material? Like, I don't want to do any like the traditional thing, cooking and all that. I would be like, what is a traditional wife material? Yeah. Watching different shows that I don't want to watch.
Yeah.
Yes. But apparently Crystal is fun wife material. Will Holston, if the Triwizard Cup was at the end of that hedge maze, where would it have transported Crystal? I'll let you take this, Haley.
I'm trying to think of something that would be funny, but like not deeply cruel. Where would it transport her to? Probably back to Montana and having to like live in Montana for the rest of her life rather than sunny, wonderful California.
Mm.
No shots at Montana.
It's just, that's not where she wants to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That works. All right. So to the draft, the week 6 draft results from the wonderful at George C TV. So he puts it as, the good news for @HStrong_and_RJP_recapper is that at Rourke's tweets lost 2 draft picks, while Haley only lost 1 and Amy lost none. The bad news, Rourke still leads with 141 with 3 people left, 141 points to 93 for Amy with 2 left. So that's like good over 50 points ahead. And yeah. 87. So you and I are very close. 87, mm-hmm. Haley. So each of us have 2 left. So, yeah, I mean, this week was just crazy for Rourke, because I thought she was going to lose 2 people in these one-on-ones. And even she was tweeting, like, I don't think it's good for my draft. I mean, she lost Crystal and Chelsea, who were, I think, strong picks. But Lauren and Jacqueline both had their one-on-ones and got the rose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
And lots of kiss points.
Yeah. So I'm left with Cien and Becca, and you are left with Kendall and Becca, the other
mm-hmm.
Becca.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Rourke has her number one pick still in with Tia. So,
and
yes.
Tia got black box points this week.
Oh my gosh. Just all over the place.
And so I guess Becca K did too, but God.
Yes, I know. It's just a little bit embarrassing.
I don't know what our strategy is going to be next season. Like, what are we going to do?
I don't know. Who can we ask to do it with
us?
I
have no idea.
Oh, we're taking suggestions, audience. Because it just is not working for us.
Oh.
Yeah. And if we're saying Tia is like our strongest bachelorette pick, then she's going to get those points too. Oh, man.
Who took Christina in that next season draft?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even remember.
Someone yeah. tweet us and let us know. Probably Jordan.
Probably. Yeah. So, and then those points would go to that draft. So it's like, who even cares? Doesn't help us on this one. Oh, all right. Haley, let's remind people of our wonderful sponsors. for this episode.
So you can check out the article we were talking about with the betting odds for Bachelor Winter Games. You can find that at sportsbettingdime.com. For your own wine subscription box, go to trywink.com/batch, trywinc.com/batch, and rxbar.com/batch. Enter promo code batch.
Yes, and that's batch as in bachelor, BACH. Yes.
You know, like Bach, but the classier version.
Yeah, I love that the sponsors are getting in on like the cool abbreviations. And
they know what's up.
For our batch cast. Yes. All right.
I have a few things from Doug.
Nice.
Okay, let me see. Let me get it back. Okay. So he said, do they wheel out the same stupid rhyme for every two-on-one date? The show is literally flying people around the world. How can they not come up with something better than two women, one rose, one stays, one goes?
Yeah, that's just part of it now.
Yeah, because the intern writes it. They're unpaid.
Yes, and they need that dun-dun-dun feel. In case there's one person on the season that doesn't know what happens on a two-on-one, but unlikely.
And then he goes on to say, Lauren is literally more boring than Ari. During their date, my dad lamented that he wished Sports Bachelor would start already. In English, this means that my dad thinks Lauren and Ari are more useless than the entire Bachelor Winter Games concept. Hey, I think Mr. Hunt's going to enjoy that. Until he realizes that it's like 4 hours a week plus The Bachelor.
Yeah. It's our own Olympic Games to get through, I think.
And then Mr. Hunt also hoped that Crystal would be allowed to return to the boat so the other women could tell her off one more time. Safe to say he's now prepared for the women tell all. Oh, also, Alex Wilpon messaged us saying that the women tell all show is like on a Sunday night.
Hmm.
Which is weird.
Like so right before the finale or something.
Yeah.
Right? Like all
right
one
before
big
the
weekend.
Right before the doing it dates. What are they called?
Oh, fantasy suites.
Fantasy suite.
Doing it dates.
And then he said, during a party this weekend, I found some wine in our front porch that my sister had left there while not sober. I was secretly hoping it was from your new sponsorship wine, trywink.com/batch. But upon finding out its true origin, I still drank it. It would be rude to turn down porch wine, right? Oh, it's definitely. Yeah. Gotta get that fine. My favorite part of the episode was watching Lauren have a breakdown at the end while Tia was doing the happiest interview in the background. Just make Tia the bachelorette already. I guess you know where Doug lies. I think he would also like Jacqueline as the bachelor too, or bachelorette too, just like for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like he would sign up for the bachelorette if that was the option there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. All right. I think that's everything. Thank you everybody for sending in your questions, your observations. It's always fun. And stay with us next week when it all goes down, when we cover,
it's
what is
a
it,
lot.
4 hours, 6 hours?
That's 6 hours.
Six
we'll
hours.
We'll be covering 6 hours of coverage.
Wow.
Covering right. 6 hours of coverage. Wow. Haley,
oh my
come
goodness.
On.
Plus so, there's like the regular Olympics to be watching too.
Yeah, and Celebrity Big Brother.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that starts this week. Tomorrow. Wow.
Tomorrow for Haley and Amy. Probably right. Already started with you guys.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes. Any predictions? So, as long as it hasn't happened yet.
Ooh,
who are you rooting for?
Ross Matthews. Oh, one more thing. Yeah. I totally forgot to tell you. Yeah. Okay. So I know you don't watch RuPaul's Drag Race. Big mistake. Just my opinion. Next week, they're having a challenge called The Bitchler. And it's like an improv challenge with the women or the women fighting for the affection of The Bachelor. Hilarious. So the guy who's playing the lead is the guy who played the lead in the most recent season of Unreal.
Really? Wow. That's exciting.
Yeah. So if you are into The Bachelor, check that out because it's the best show on television right now. Like, I'm not even kidding. It is so good. And I will be sending Mike Bloom my thoughts and feelings about that written down, and he will read them aloud. So tune into that.
Yes, always, we have wrap-up coverage of RuPaul's Drag Race as well, so be sure to subscribe to the wrap-ups.
And you can also hear me on the Top Chef wrap-up this week. This past week, we had old friend Antonio Mazzaro. This upcoming week, we have good friend of yours and ours,
Yeah.
Rourke is going to come on to me and Mike, and we're going to talk about Top Chef. I'm really excited about that. Hopefully, she won't. Luckily, she was not included in the Top Chef draft because she would be killing it.
So. Yeah. Awesome. So, everybody, check all that out. You can find me at RHAP Recapper. Haley's at HStrong _. And we'll see you next week.
Bye. All right,
bye.